Today is the disappearance day of Srila Devananda Pandit. So we'll sing the Saparshad Bhagavad Viraha Janita Vilap Bhajan. Acharya Thakur Thana Prabhu Kotha Gela Acharya Thakur Kaha mora swarup rupa kaha sanata Kaha mora swarup rupa kaha sanata kaha dasa Raghunath Patita Pavan Kaha Dasa Raghunath Patita Pavan Kaha Mora Bhatta Yuga Kaha Kavira Kaha mora bhatta yuga Kaha kaviraj কালে কথা গেলা গোরনটরাজ এক কালে কথা গেলা গৌরনটরাজ পাষাণ কুটিব মাথা অনলে পশিব পাষাণ কুটিব মাথা অনল পশিব গৌরাঙ্গ গুণেরা নিধি কথা গেলে পাব গৌরাঙ্গ গুণেরা নিধি কোথা গেলে পাব শেষব সঙ্গীর সঙ্গে যে কইল ভিলাস শেষব সঙ্গীর সঙ্গে যে কইল বিলাস সে সঙ্গ না পাইয়া কাঁদে নরোত্তম দাস সে সঙ্গ না পাইয়া কাঁদে নরোত্তম দাস হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. जय वैष्णव ठाकुर जय वैष्णव ठाकुर वैष्णव ठाकुर जय वैष्णव ठाकुर जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सतहिष्ठ वाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्रील देवानंद पंडित की जय। श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय। श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्री गुरुः श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्वशे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे इज द डिसअपीयरेंस डे ऑफ श्रील देवानंद पंडित, वन ऑफ द एसोसिएट्स ऑफ श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु। इट इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट फॉर अस टू हियर अबाउट दीज इटर्नल एसोसिएट्स and other great devotees because such narrations are very purifying, inspirational and also instructive. Like the other associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Devananda Pandit also had a role to play in Krishna Leela in Vrindavan. The Gauda Ganudesha Deepika says, Purananam Arthoveta Sri Devananda Panditaha Purasin Nanda Parishat Pandito Bhandari Munihi. The Gauda Ganudesha Deepika is a text by Kavi Karnapur which mentions, among other things, the identities in Krishna Leela of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And regarding Devananda Pandit, Kavi Karnapur says that that Devananda Pandit, who was Purananam Arthavetta, who was the knower of the meaning of the Puranas, was in the olden days, that means in the time of Lord Krishna, in his manifest pastimes here, Purasin Nanda Parishat Pandito. He was a scholar in the court of Nanda Maharaj, and he would recite the Vedas and the scriptures, and his name was Bhandari Muni. Somewhere it is also mentioned as Bhaguri Muni. So as we know, in Braj, it's not that there were only Vaishyas, there were also other Brahmanas who were present there, and other Varnas also. And there were many Brahmanas who would come to the house of Nanda Maharaj and to his court, and he would chant various auspicious mantras and so on. So Bhandari Muni was one such Pandit, and he advented as Devananda Pandit in the pastimes of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. His name appears twice in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Firstly, in the Adi Leela, in the 10th chapter, when Kaviraj Goswami says, Bhagavati Devananda Vakreshwara Kripate Bhagavatera Bhakti Artha Paile Prabhu Hoite. Kaviraj Goswami refers to Devananda Pandit as Bhagavati Devananda. Bhagavati refers to one who speaks on the Bhagavata. So Devananda was a Bhagavati, that is, he would speak on the Bhagavat. And by the mercy of Vakreshwar Pandit, who was another eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by the mercy of Mahaprabhu himself, this Devananda Pandit, Bhagavatera Bhakti Artha Paila, he could understand the real purport or the meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of bhakti or devotional service, which means that previously he did not understand. How it was that he didn't understand and how he was made to understand, we'll discuss shortly. And then later in the Madhya Leela also, Kaviraj Goswami explains how Mahaprabhu gave him his mercy. Kuliya grame koilo devanandere prasad, gopala viprera kshamaila shrivasaparad. He said in the place called Kuliya, Mahaprabhu blessed Devananda Pandit as he did Gopal Chapal. So we'll discuss this a little briefly as we move on. In Navadvip, as you know, there are 9 islands. Navadvip. Nava means 9, dvip means island. The 5th island is called Koladvip. Koladvip, the word Kola means boar, and it refers to the Varaha incarnation of the Lord. There is a Kola Parvat there, a mountain, and it is said that in Satya Yuga, one Brahman called Vasudev used to live there, and he performed many austerities. And he worshipped Lord Varahadev, who then finally appeared before him in his huge form touching the clouds, and he blessed him with pure devotional service. And he also said that he would appear in Kali Yuga here in this very place and perform pastimes here. And since that time, this place has become known as Koladvip. And this Kola Parvat is non-different from Govardhan Hill. Just as Navadvip is non-different from Vrindavan, so that section of Navadvip, which is Koladvip, particularly the hill there, is non-different from Govardhan Hill. And there is a Rasasthali there, there are other Bahulavan, and those places are also close by in Koladvip. So Koladvip later on in the local language became distorted and known as Kuliya. From Kola it became Kuliya. So it became known as Kuliya or Kuliya Gram. Gram refers to village. Actually, In the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Navadvip was a big town, a flourishing town with thousands and thousands of residents, especially scholars, who would study, discuss and debate various aspects of Vedic knowledge. And at that time, what we know as Mayapur today, which is on the eastern bank of the Ganga, was the central part of the town of Navadvip. And the western bank of the Ganga was also part of the Navadvip town. And that part was Kulia. It was known as Kulia. It was a suburb of Nadia, of Navadvip. Today, however, the town, the municipal town known as Navadvip, is in the western banks where Kulia Gram used to be. So the Kulia Gram of Mahaprabhu's time is the same as the Navadvip town of today. So in this Kulia Gram, many pastimes have taken place. Those of you who have been to the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, you may have visited Koladvip and heard about the pastimes there. This place is also called Aparadh Bhanjanera Path, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, because this is the place at which many, many people were forgiven of their offenses by Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. In particular, Devananda Pandit and another Brahmana called Chapal Gopal. About Chapal Gopal, it is said that he was very envious of the associates of Mahaprabhu and particularly of Srivas Thakur, because in Navadvip, it was in Srivas Thakur's house that Mahaprabhu would do all-night kirtan. And many of the Brahmanas there also became very disturbed by this because they were not devotees. They did not understand the devotional conclusions of the scriptures. They were more absorbed in the ritualistic aspects of the Vedas. And so this particular Brahman, Chapal Gopal, he thought that there must be some way to defame the Srivas Thakur. So he placed all kinds of forbidden items like alcohol and meat and other items that are used for the worship of Goddess Kali. And he placed them outside the doorstep of Srivas Thakur at night, quietly. So that in the morning when people passed by, they would see all these items in front of Srivas Thakur's door and they would think, oh, just look at this person. Externally, he claims to be a devotee of Krishna, but see, actually, secretly, he worships Kali, and then he partakes of the offerings to Kali, which is liquor and meat. So he wanted to defame him. When Srivas Thakur arose early in the morning and saw this, then he understood immediately that it was some conspiracy by some devotee to defame him. So he did something unusual. A normal person would have quickly gathered all the things and thrown them away lest anybody see it. But Srivas Thakur let the things remain there and he called all the respectable gentlemen from the neighborhood. And he said, just see, now my real identity has been exposed. Now you know who I am. These gentlemen of course knew Srivas Thakur very well, so they were outraged. Who is this person who has committed such offenses against Srivas Thakur? Krishna of course knew. And within a very short time, Chapal Gopal contracted leprosy. And because there was no cure at that time, he had to go out because leprosy is an infectious disease. And he had to go on the outskirts of Navadvip. And there he suffered terribly. And it was much later that Mahaprabhu came here. And then Chapal Gopal came begging forgiveness in a terrible state of mind. And Mahaprabhu said, you cannot be forgiven unless you beg forgiveness from the person you have offended. That is Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur, being a great Vaishnava, readily forgave him. And then only by Mahaprabhu's mercy, Chapal Gopal was forgiven of his offenses. So like that, Devananda Pandit was also forgiven of certain offenses he has made. What kind of offenses did Devananda Pandit do? A brief background is given in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Actually, this Devananda Pandit was a great scholar. It is described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, Gyanavanta Tapasvi आजन्म उदासीन, भागवत पौढ़ाए तथापि भक्तिहीन. He was ज्ञानवंत. He was quite scholarly. ज्ञानवंत means he was full of knowledge. तपस्वी, he was very very austere. And आजन्म उदासीन. उदासीन means indifferent to material things. And आजन्म means right from birth. So right from childhood, he exhibited traits of renunciation and complete indifference to material enjoyment. He had nothing to do with worldly life right from childhood. And he would teach the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavat padaye tathapi bhaktihin. But even though he taught the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was bhaktihin. Without bhakti, somehow or other, he did not understand, for some unknown reason which only Krishna understood, the real purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would give some imaginary interpretation according to his own scholarship and his understanding of the scripture. He was a mumukshu. A mumukshu is a moksha abhilashi. Moksha means the impersonal liberation, and abhilashi means one who desires. So Devananda Pandit did not understand that the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam is bhakti. And although he was very scholarly, but he was advocating another goal, that of impersonal liberation. So then Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Bhagavat adhyapan kore nirantar akumara sanyasir praye vratadhar. That nirantar, every day he would study continuously the Srimad Bhagavatam. And right from childhood he had the vows like a sannyasi. Akumara sanyasir praye vratadhar. Vrat means a vow, dhar means to hold. So he was almost like a sannyasi right from his very childhood. And he was a very strong celibate. He was a very strong renunciant. He never married. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that a devotee has all the good qualities. Even when a person takes to devotional service, he may have many bad qualities. But by the virtue of the fact that he performs devotional service, all these bad qualities will eventually be destroyed and all good qualities will manifest. However, in a non-devotee, first of all, it's not likely that we will find many good qualities. But even if there are many good qualities, then those qualities will not be of much use. In fact, those qualities will lead him to more harm. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says that Devananda Pandit's qualities of celibacy and renunciation only caused him to become an offender, that's all, because he did not understand bhakti, because he was not a devotee. A non-devotee heart becomes hard-hearted, and when that is equipped with other qualities like renunciation and celibacy and so on, then very easily one tends to offend devotees. So therefore, Devananda Pandit's good qualities actually caused him some harm. And in this way, Devananda Pandit lived teaching the Srimad Bhagavatam as he understood it. Many people in Navadvip at that time were non-devotees, ritualistic smartha Brahmins. They had no taste for devotional service. They were quite materialistic, and they looked to religion as some form of as a means of material advancement. So many Brahmanas would come to study Srimad Bhagavatam from Devananda Pandit. But their motive was, how can we study this scripture so that we can go out and give kathas and make a good livelihood and become famous? So our acharyas have always criticized this professional recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We find many, many people study Srimad Bhagavatam, especially here in Vrindavan, simply for making a living, not for becoming a pure devotee, or not for spreading the principle of pure devotional service, but simply to earn a livelihood to become rich, to become famous, and so on. Now, Devananda Pandit was not a devotee reciter, but at least he did not have gross material desires like wanting money and so on. Because of some lack of knowledge, he did not understand the devotional purport, but otherwise he was very scholarly. So many students would come to him, and one time Srivas Thakur heard that this Devananda Pandit is speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam, so let me go and hear. So he went and sat there in the assembly. Now this incident happened far before Mahaprabhu actually manifested his revealed pastimes. As Srivas Pandit sat there, he heard Devananda Pandit speaking eloquently on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Akshare Akshare Bhagavata Premamoy Shunya Dravilo Srinivasir Hridaye. Akshare Akshare Bhagavat Premamaya. So every syllable, every alphabet of the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Krishna Prem. And this is how Srivas Thakur understood it. And that's the reality. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the manifestation of ecstatic love of Krishna. So Srivas Thakur, being a pure devotee of the Lord, understood this point, and as Devananda Pandit was reciting the Bhagavatam, although Devananda Pandit did not have a devotional mood, still Srivas Thakur had a devotional mood. So with every chanting of the alphabet or the letter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of Krishna Prem, Srivas Thakur's heart melted. And spontaneously, tears of Krishna Prem began to flow from his eyes, and he began to sigh very deeply. The other students became disturbed. They thought, who is this person who has come here, and he is disturbing our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he is wasting our time. So they got up, and they physically threw him out of the assembly. And as this was going on, Devananda Pandit was sitting on the Vyasasan, and he was seeing all this happening, but he didn't say a word. He didn't intervene in this matter. So the students of Devananda Pandit, they committed a great Vaishnava aparad by physically removing Srivas Thakur from that assembly and by criticizing him. And even though Devananda Pandit didn't physically participate in this act, but the fact that he didn't object to it, when he was the most influential person in that assembly, made him also a participant in that offense. And that offense was to cost him heavily as time went on. So in any case, Devananda Pandit didn't think much about this. And life went on for him. He went on with his study of the Bhagavata and his recitation also. Many students would come to him. Eventually, one day, when Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, manifested his devotional pastimes and he chanted the holy name in the company of his devotees, he would wander through the different streets of Navadvip. And sometimes he would chant, early mornings especially, and sometimes he would just wander from place to place, engaging people in Krishna conscious discussion. So one time, as he approached the residence of Devananda Pandit, he heard the recitation of the Bhagavatam going on inside. Devananda Pandit's ashram was very close to the house of Maheshwar Visharad, who was the father of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And soon, in just a couple of years, Mahaprabhu would be delivering Maheshwar Visharad's son in Jagannath Puri, that is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So when he heard the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam from Devananda Pandit's ashram, he paused to see if there was any devotional purport emanating from that discussion. And he didn't hear anything. So he became angry. And in his anger, he began to speak loudly outside, even as he was standing on the street, accompanied by his devotees. He said, very loudly so that Devananda Pandit could hear. He said, how can we expect this fellow to understand the true meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam? He has not understood the true meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam in any of his lifetimes. What is his qualification to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam? The Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Lord Krishna in book form. The Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. The Vedas declare that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ecstatic, is a manifestation of Krishna Prem, of ecstatic Krishna Prem. Actually, the Vedas are like yogurt, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is like butter. Parikshit Maharaj is fortunate because as Shukadev Goswami was churning this yogurt, Parikshit Maharaj was relishing that butter. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that this is a very important and interesting analogy or an example. Just as when you churn yogurt, eventually you get butter by the churning process. Similarly, when the Vedas are churned, so to speak, if you want to extract the butter of the conclusion of Krishna Prem from the Vedas, then you have to discard the insignificant sediments of Jnana Yoga, Jnana Kanda and Karma Kanda. Karma Kanda means that section which pertains to fruitive activities, and Jnana Kanda refers to that section which pertains to the monists and the speculative path of trying to attain the impersonal Brahman of the Lord. So when one rejects these unwanted items, what remains is Krishna Prem, the real essence of the Vedas. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that Parikshit Maharaj gave up all the other conceptions and accepted only this pure devotional conclusion. And therefore devotees like Parikshit are called Sar Grahi. Sar means essence, Grahi means one who is accepting. So a devotee of the Lord is also called a Saragrahi because he accepts the conclusion, the essence of all the scriptures as being bhakti. He discards all the other aspects and all the other information given in the Vedas. An interesting aside, a small deviation for a moment. From cow's milk, you can get yogurt. From yogurt, when it is churned, as the gopis would do here in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago. At that time there was no melanin to mix. Melamine, I think that's the chemical they mix nowadays. They didn't mix water either in the milk. They churned the pure cow's milk, made it into yogurt, churned the yogurt manually, and then from that the butter was made. Then from butter came ghee, which could be used for cooking, for fire sacrifices, and for other purposes. So generally nowadays there is a misconception that by taking ghee, you increase your cholesterol problems in the heart. The bad cholesterol increases. But one doctor had mentioned, I remember, an Ayurvedic doctor, who gave me an interesting point. Perhaps somebody, some medical people should do research. He said that ghee that is made from cow's milk traditionally in this manner, that is by the churning of by making the pure cow's milk into curd or yogurt and churning the yogurt and from that butter making ghee, that is a perfect process, the traditional process. And if you take that kind of ghee, then you'll never have a heart problem. In fact, there are some Ayurvedic doctors who treat heart patients with this kind of ghee. They use it as a medicine. But the modern method is a shortcut, like everything else. You skim off the cream from the milk, and from the cream, then you make the ghee. So the cholesterol-causing ghee is this ghee. that is made from the cream rather than from the yogurt that is coming from the cow's milk. So in any case, that was just a small deviation. So to come back to the point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, so this is how we should understand, as Shukadev understood. Shukadev, my dear devotee, has understood the full conclusions and the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he said, but this man, he has not understood. In fact, he's a rascal because he doesn't understand that the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam is simply devotional service. He went on like this to glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam in a mood of anger against Devananda Pandit, and the devotees who were with him were floating in an ocean of ecstasy, hearing this wonderful glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vrindavan Das Thakur then goes on to further glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he says that actually one who thinks he knows Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't know it. That's an interesting point. And Mahaprabhu also says it much later to Devananda Pandit. Many, many years later, after Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas and come to Koladweep again. So after having glorified Srimad Bhagavatam like this, Mahaprabhu moved on. Again, after some days, Mahaprabhu returned to Kulia and he was walking along the street and then he saw Devananda Pandit at a distance. And upon seeing Devananda Pandit, he remembered how many years ago he had actually offended Srivas Thakur. Even though Mahaprabhu was not physically present at that time in the assembly, but he is the Supreme Lord. He is Antaryami, residing in everybody's heart. He is Sarvajna, all-knowing. So he immediately understood what had happened. So he remembered that incident when he saw Devananda Pandit. And immediately he caught hold of him and rebuked him. He said, Devananda Pandit, you are teaching Srimad Bhagavatam. But do you realize that you have committed a great offense against my pure devotee Srivas Thakur? Even Mother Ganga is eager to get a darshan of this great devotee. And you dared to offend him. Actually, even though you are supposed to be a great teacher of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I can understand that you don't understand the meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You are simply in a world of illusion. When a hungry person eats food, he at least gets some relief from his distress. But even though you have been studying the Srimad Bhagavatam all your life, but you have had no fruit. There is no good result. The purport being that even his material distress had not reduced. So Mahaprabhu was really condemning Devananda Pandit's mood of studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mahaprabhu admonished Devananda Pandit like this in front of everyone on the street. And Devananda Pandit, to his good fortune, accepted this chastisement without complaint, faithfully. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that just as when Lord Vishnu kills the asuras, he actually liberates them, so similarly, one who receives the chastisement of the Lord faithfully also awakens his good fortune. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur says, because Devananda Pandit faithfully accepted the chastisement of Mahaprabhu, he didn't complain, he didn't object, he didn't retort. Therefore he got Mahaprabhu's blessings in a way that perhaps he didn't anticipate. And it happened in this way that much after Mahaprabhu had left Navadvip after taking sannyas, another great devotee of the Lord called Vakreshwar Pandit happened to come to Kulia. Somehow or other he was acquainted with Devananda Pandit. So he stayed in Devananda Pandit's ashram. And out of his fondness for Devananda Pandit, he would stay there and he would do kirtan. Devananda Pandit was also very impressed by the devotional qualities of Vakreshwar Pandit. And he would serve him in different ways. And first hand, he happened to see the qualities of an exalted Mahabhagavat like Vakreshwar Pandit. When Vakreshwar Pandit would dance, then Devananda Pandit would stand guard just so that the crowd would not come and disturb him. Vakreshwar Pandit was a lion of a devotee. He was well known for his ecstatic dancing in the kirtan. It is said that on one occasion he danced for 72 hours continuously. And on one occasion, Devananda Pandit, for 6 hours he held up his stick and protected Vakreshwar Pandit from the crowds around him as he was dancing in kirtan. And if by chance he happened to slip and fall while dancing, then Devananda Pandit would actually hold him up with his arms. If there was dust on his body, then he would clean dust from Vakreshwar Pandit's body and he would smear it on his own body. In this way he developed great faith in Vakreshwar Pandit. And through Vakreshwar Pandit he developed great faith in Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Devananda Pandit, although very scholarly, and he wasn't a devotee, but his other main fault was that he didn't have faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu earlier. But now, by the mercy of Vakreshwar Pandit, he developed strong faith. And as time went on, his heart began to get transformed. And he was thinking of devotional service. He actually became a devotee. He became very humble. After taking sannyas, when Mahaprabhu was on his way to Vrindavan, he stopped by at Kulia once again. And at this time, he was forgiving the offenses of everyone, like Chapal Gopal and many, many others. Many people came to Mahaprabhu, begging for mercy, begging for forgiveness of all their aparads. And Devananda Pandit was hesitant. He was standing in a corner, feeling very embarrassed to come forward, because he was now conscious of the offense he had committed against Srivas Thakur. And he was also conscious of how he had actually been misrepresenting the Srimad Bhagavatam to people for so many years. However, Mahaprabhu, being very merciful, spotted him in the corner and called him. And he said, "You have had the good fortune of seeing me because you served my pure devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit. Please know that my devotee is none different from me. Krishna resides in the heart of Vakreshwar Pandit. Wherever Vakreshwar Pandit dances, please know for certain that Krishna also dances at the same place. Whoever offends my devotee offends Krishna. Whoever serves my devotee serves Krishna." In fact, at one place in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, he quotes a verse from some scripture which says, "There is a doubt whether one who serves Krishna will attain perfection. But there is no doubt that one who serves Krishna's devotee will attain perfection." Of course, it doesn't mean that if you serve Krishna, you won't attain perfection. But the point is that serving the devotee is the undisputed way, according to the Shastra, of very quickly achieving Krishna prem. Vaishnav Seva, especially serving exalted pure Vaishnavas, is a sure shot way to attain the mercy of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu had been very upset with Devananda Pandit. But now that Devananda Pandit had served Vakreshwar Pandit, Mahaprabhu's heart melted. He said, "So you have obtained my darshan simply because you served my devotee." Then Devananda Pandit took a very humble position. He offered his prostrated obeisances to Mahaprabhu. And he says, "I am a great wretch, I am a great fool. I did not understand what the Srimad Bhagavatam was. I did not understand you. You were living here in our midst for so many years, and because of my foolishness and ignorance, I could not understand you. Now I have realized my folly. Please have mercy upon me and deliver me. Please, I have one request. Give me some instruction. Please tell me, how should I study the Bhagavatam? How should I teach the Srimad Bhagavatam? So Mahaprabhu then said, yes, now I am very happy that you have understood this point. Please know that the beginning, the middle and the end of Srimad Bhagavatam is bhakti and bhakti alone. Simply glorify bhakti in all your talks on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Understand that there is nothing more than that in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest scripture in the whole creation. It is non-different from Krishna. It is not destroyed when the universe is destroyed. Just as the different avatars of the Lord appear and disappear at their will, so also Srimad Bhagavatam appears and disappears. But Srimad Bhagavatam remains ever perfect. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches the pure devotion to Krishna. When Srila Vyasadev was reprimanded by his spiritual master Srila Narad Muni that he had not talked about the pastimes of Krishna in his previous compositions, the Vedas and the Upanishads and other books, he was instructed to write the Srimad Bhagavatam. And after doing so, Vyasadeva's life became full of bliss. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, therefore, please understand that every syllable of your Srimad Bhagavatam is glorifying Sri Krishna and his devotional service. It is immeasurable, it is infallible, it is eternal. So one who takes shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, even if he is a fool, will make his life perfect. So take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam as a devotee. So in this way, Mahaprabhu gave good instruction to Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit accepted this to heart, and from then on he began to preach the devotional conclusions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Today in Kulia Gram there is a Devananda Pandit Gaudiya Math also. So Srila Devananda Pandit disappeared from this earthly plane exactly on this day, and he re-entered the eternal pastimes of Lord Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan and also simultaneously in Navadvip, where the Sankirtan pastimes are going on. So, because Devananda Pandit is so intimately connected with Kulia Gram, which is Aparadha Bhanjanera path, it is a place where all offenses are destroyed and forgiven. And Devananda Pandit is the best living example of that. We can pray to the lotus feet of Devananda Pandit that we may also be blessed and forgiven of our mountain-like offenses against the various devotees and against the Lord, and that we may also one day be able to relish a few drops from the nectarian ocean of pure Krishna Prem. Srila Devananda Pandit ki jai, Srila Devananda Pandit Tirubhav Divas ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, someone raised the hand. Yes, someone has raised the hand there. Actually, there is one little episode that just before Mahaprabhu chastised Devananda Pandit for the second time, he wanted to enter into a liquor house. When he smelled the liquor, he remembered his Balaram mood. He got into the Balaram mood and he wanted to enjoy Varuni. And he wanted to go inside. And Srivas Thakur pleaded with him, my dear Lord, please don't go inside. So Mahaprabhu turned around and said, do you think that I am subject to the rules and regulations that you are subject to? So Srivas Thakur said, "My Lord, nevertheless, if you go inside, then you'll break the principles of religion. People will not understand. There are many foolish people who don't understand your transcendental position. And then if you go inside, then they will imitate you or they will criticize you. And either way, they will go to hell. So therefore, please do not go inside." So Mahaprabhu, being bound by the love and the order of his pure devotee, then said, "All right, now I will not go inside." And then as they walked on, many drunkards began to follow Mahaprabhu. And they all started shouting, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol." And there was a huge commotion. The drunkards were creating a huge commotion, chanting Hari Bol. And Srivas Thakur was in ecstatic bliss to see these drunkards chanting Hare Krishna. And Mahaprabhu began to smile in great happiness to see how these drunkards were also chanting Krishna's name. And Vrindavan Das Thakur said, "I offer my obeisances to those drunkards." Because they were fortunate enough to see Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu personally chanting the holy names. So we can also offer our obeisances to those drunkards. Yes, someone had a hand raised there. Yes.
Hey, Bol, what I could interpret is that Sri Devanand Pandit Vaishnava offense was by omission, not commission. Am I right?
His
Vaishnava offense,
yes,
was by omission, not commission.
Yes.
So is that applicable to us as well?
Yes. Just like if someone has committed some offense, someone has seen a murder taking place, he has not committed the murder. He has just seen the murder taking place. And when he's asked, "Have you seen anything? Have you seen a murder taking place?" he keeps quiet. So he is also guilty because he should speak. So silence can also be an act of guilt. If one should speak up at a certain time, if justice demands that, then we should speak, and not speaking is an offense. So similarly, Devananda Pandit was the teacher there sitting on the Vyasasan. And when Srivas Thakur was offended in that manner, he should have immediately protested and stopped his students from doing what they did. But he didn't. He remained as a silent spectator. And therefore he participated in that offense. In fact, the offense was greater on his part because he should have known better. At least the students were ignorant. They were young boys. They didn't know anything. They didn't know better. But he should have known better. So therefore, the offense on his part was more serious. So aparadh can be acts of commission or they can be acts of omission also. Yes, any other point? Yes, can you pass the mic here, please?
Hare Krishna. So you were telling that, my question is that what it means to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam?
Two things. As Mahaprabhu explained, I did not give the full explanation that Mahaprabhu gave because of shortage of time. But he explains that one who discriminates between the Supreme Lord, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the devotee is an offender. So therefore the Srimad Bhagavatam must be seen in that connection. In connection with the bhakti to the Supreme Lord and in connection with the glories of the devotee of the Supreme Lord also. So taking ashraya of Srimad Bhagavatam means taking shelter of the Pustak Bhagavata, the book Bhagavatam, and also the person Bhagavatam. With the conception, with the idea that pure devotional service is the only conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning, the middle and the end. So taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam means these two things. To understand the Srimad Bhagavatam as non-different from Krishna, as and its only message being Krishna Prem, and that being our goal when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, and second, to also become a servant of the person Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord. So all right, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.